Hello, everyone, and welcome to the edition of the Jay Willie Show. I'm your host, Mark Jerome. The gentleman with the glasses and the white Jay Willie shirt is none other than Coach Jason Williford. And after a two-week hiatus, our famous DJ YB is back, resurfaced after a little hiatus. Welcome back, YB.
Thank you, man. Good to be back.
That beat is so hot.
Why, I must say, I'm feeling the Jay Willie intro. Why, I must say,
yes, sir.
I'm
yes, sir. Yeah.
I love that.
Just wanted to surprise you with it, see what's up.
I love it. Hey, that's my old roommate, Mark. He's taking care of me.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
typically,
no,
yeah, yeah. Well, he did. Why? What is that from?
Hey.
That's too much.
You gotta let him know, TK.
I know the sample.
Yeah, you asked too much now.
Damn. I know the sample because I love that song. But
okay,
I like the mix even better.
Well, leave it alone.
I love the mix better though. So, as we all know, typically the Jay Willie Show is a basketball podcast. Fall does bring around other sports, and we love to support all UVA sports. Tonight, joining us is the one and only Terry Kirby. Terry, thank you so much for coming on.
What's up, Jay Willie? What's up, Jerome? YB, what's up, man?
TK, what up, brother? What's good with you, man?
Man, I'm trying, man. I be hooking on to you all the time, man. You be laying it down.
I appreciate it, man. I see you jumping in.
Now you gave Jay Willie the new intro. I mean, Jay Willie, that's classic.
Yeah,
Kirby, it don't get better than that.
Not everybody can have an intro like that.
How about that?
Shaf and Jay Willie.
Yeah.
Got your own show and your own intro. That's not bad.
Hey, Kirby, I appreciate you jumping on, man. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man. No problem. Anytime.
Hey, and I know Mark's got some stuff for you, and we got one other guest. We're waiting for your boy, you know, fashionably late as usual, but
always.
We won't hold that against him. That goes back to high school days.
Exactly. Always. Matter of fact, it goes back to elementary with me and him. So he always late.
How about that?
Terry, I don't know how much you know about the Jay Willie Show or if you've had a chance to see a couple of episodes. We've had some surprise guests on. But everyone we've had on pretty much that's joined as a guest who's not a current student athlete tells a story or two about Jason Williford. During the time in college, we had Junior Burrow talk about Jay Willie getting out of practice a couple of times. We had Walt Williams come on where there was an incident between Walt and Jay Willie. We've had where Jay Willie was pretending to be Walt all week as on the scout team and wearing the socks up high and didn't think he was going to get in the game. And they ended up getting the game and got into a little scuffle. We've had some fun stories. Is there something in particular that stands out about Jason Williford while you guys were in school together?
For me, you know, most guys don't realize I only played basketball my first 2 years. So what most guys don't understand, for me, you know, in high school, I was a shooting guard, but they knew from me playing football all the way up until January, they knew when I came to practice, it was going to be a foul fest. They know it. I mean, I was much stronger than those guys. They were taller than me, but they were more basketball players, and I was a football player playing basketball, but I had some skills, but they knew defensive wise it was on. So I can just remember when Jay Willie first came in, you know, of course, me being a two guard, and I'm, you know, still fighting for, you know, a little bit of playing time. I wasn't gonna get much, so for me it was all about just playing defense, and I was on them. That's what I was gonna do, because I knew that offensively I was a little behind because I got there in January. So for me, it was all about fouling, and most of them guys couldn't take that. They couldn't take that hacking. They couldn't take that somebody on them 24/7 that was stronger than them.
So when you say they couldn't take it, what was the reaction? Was it, did they back up, or were there some scuffles that occurred during practice?
Nah, it really wasn't scuffles, because, you know, they knew I was stronger than them, but they knew that, for one, you know, the worst guy on the basketball court is that guy that's relentless, that guy that doesn't get tired. You know, the guy that's checking you that doesn't get tired and can run all day long, most basketball players don't like that. And I was one of those guys.
How were you able to manage playing two sports?
It was hard, especially at UVA. It was real hard. The hardest thing for me was, you know, I started football training in, you know, June, July, August, and then I didn't pick up a basketball at all during that time. You know, when I was training football, it was strictly football. So for me, coming into, you know, after a bowl game, which is usually in January, trying to pick up an offense, trying to get into, you know, basketball shape instead of football shape, it's two different things, you know. And for me, trying to learn the offense and get into a rotation when I'm coming from, you know, in high school where I was a shooter and coming into a control situation, you know, that wasn't my thing. So I knew my role when I got there. So my role was, you know, whatever defensive player, you know, whatever offensive player they needed to stop when I got in the game, that was my job. You know, I spelled Jay Willie, Anthony Oliver, you know, Chris Havertz, all those guys, they knew when they needed a break and needed somebody to come in on defense, that was my specialty.
You're also using different muscles, right? When you're coming off the football field. And
it's cardiovascular, man. The muscle part of it is all good. Let me tell you, running up and down that court, I don't care what nobody say, it ain't easy.
Hey, Kirby, I was going to ask, is it easier to go football to basketball or basketball to football? What's the... Like I know the physicality is different, but from a you just touched on it, the cardio, man, like basketball is a different running.
Absolutely. You know, it's easier to go from basketball to football for 100%. You know, in basketball, you know, the longest play is going to last 8 seconds. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, a quick burst and then you're done. You get a little 45 second break or whatever. You know what I mean? Basketball, I mean, you could be up and down that court, you know, burst with 2 seconds, burst with another second, you know, turn, do this and that. I mean, it's the cardiovascular shape of basketball players. Most people don't understand, man, to do that, you know, 3 times a week. I mean, it is no joke, man. It's no joke. I commend those guys. It's almost, you know, I always tell people all the time, they always say, what's the true best athletes, you know, out there between all sports, you know? For me, it's basketball and hockey. Only because it's the stop and go constantly. Turn this way, turn that way. You know, the movement of that, where football as a running back, you know, we're going straight ahead. We're going downhill. You know, downhill a little side to side, but it's not like a basketball where it can be 1 second here, 1 second here, you know, and it's constant. So that's the difference.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument for either sport. And I'm a huge basketball fan. I played football in high school too. But you could, if you're going up, going downhill, carrying a football, but getting hit from four different linemen. Well,
we ain't talking about contact though. Now you ain't saying nothing about contact. Now contact's a whole different story. I just go on cardiovascular.
Yeah, contact is a different animal.
I guess when you were playing basketball, some of the guys on offense had to go through your contact as well as going up and down the court.
Absolutely. I mean, you can see even in basketball nowadays, you know, the contact is a little bit different than it was back in, you know, in the Jordan and Bill Laimbeer and, you know, Anthony Mason. You know, the contact of the sport back then to now still has changed.
Yeah, it's a different game, man.
Let me tell you, totally them guys, when you were going to the hoop back then, you knew what was happening. You know, you was going to earn that and one.
But even the hand checking, Kirby, like you can put a forearm, you can put your hand, like all of that has changed. That's what the Wizard and I were talking about a while back when we were talking how the game has changed.
Well, with the Wizard, man, let me tell you, not many people was a 6'9 point guard, you know what I mean, with handles. You know, so being able to hand check and being able to put that elbow in the back, you know what I mean, that helped a guy like that because it wasn't like Walt was going to be this, you know, complete dribbling down the court. He was a magic. He was going to back you down. He had the height advantage. Yeah. So being able to put that hand on him and being able to put that elbow in that back, you know, that laid in the playing field.
No doubt.
Which sport did you like better? And did you gravitate?
Basketball. Most people ask me that all the time. And I love basketball. And I think most people that play basketball love basketball because you can play it year round. You know what I mean? It's one of them sports I can go outside and play at any point and shoot with football, football came natural. You know, football was one of those sports that just kind of came natural for me. And it was one of those sports that I worked hard. I always lifted weights. I mean, that was my thing. So me working out and playing football, it didn't matter. You know, it was funny because Zoe and I talk all the time, Alonzo Mourning. And I can remember growing up, and the craziest thing is I played basketball AAU, and we traveled on planes and stuff. So from June and July, I was traveling every weekend playing AAU ball. And most people don't realize I was carrying on the plane with me 2 25-pound dumbbells.
Oh, wow.
Most people didn't know that. Zoe used to laugh his ass off at me because he was like, what do you do? I said, listen, man, I'm playing AAU, but when I get back August 10th, you know what starts for me? Football. So I actually checked in the plane in a backpack with 2 25-pound weights.
Wow. Wow.
On every AAU tournament.
Hey, so you bring up AAU, Kirby, and I want you to tell her, you know, all the folks that are listening, we bring them up to speed what you're doing now and where you are in your life after football and retirement. But you talked about AAU and playing with Boo Williams. Just tell the folks your teammates, those teams that you had, and then my other question is, what was the best player / team you guys faced during that time?
Wow. You know, I was very fortunate to be in the late 80s in basketball. You know, in the late 80s in basketball in high school, you know, you're talking some of the best players to actually play the game, you know, into the NBA, you know, from Kenny Anderson to Mike Tate to, wow, Sean Kemp to London Jones. I mean, a lot of guys that played in that era were unbelievable basketball players and went on, you know, do the great things in college and some of them. But on my AAU team, we had we won a national championship twice. So my sophomore year, we had J.R. Reed, Lonzo Mourning, Cornell Parker, Brian Stith, Milton Bell.
My high school teammate.
Yeah, Curly Young, Kevin Swan. I mean, we had a squad of guys from within 20-mile radius, you know what I mean? So, and it's funny because every time we went up against, you know, like Riverside Church with Kenny Anderson and all those guys, they had guys from upstate New York, they had guys from all over the place where we came in with Boo Williams and we came in on a van and we came in with straight vengeance, you know, and because we were, you know, they thought of us as the country boys. You know, we're the country boys from Virginia. You ain't got no game. You know what I mean? You coming up to the city. Basketball has been in the city, this and that. So we always came in with that grudge, you know. And from that team alone, you know, we played the Russians 2 years in a row. We lost 1 year and then we came back and won. With Boo Williams, man, we traveled to Ireland. You know, I was 15 and Boo took our entire team to Belfast and Dublin to play against the semi-pro teams in Dublin. I mean, and 15 years old and you travel to Dublin to play basketball. But, you know, it also helped when you got Lonzo Mourning on your team. You know, the number one player, people want to see him. So.
Did Slade play with you guys? Was Slade on the AAU team?
Slade was on that team too. Slade was our enforcer. Slade was a straight. The craziest thing is when we played the Russians, we made sure that Slade was in that game because, you know, the Russians couldn't handle, you know, Slade. And, you know, playing at the Dell with the Slade.
I know.
And at Mem Gym, you know what it was like. You know what you was getting.
No doubt.
Getting knees right here. You was getting elbows constantly. So, you know, that was his game. You know, and going up with Chris in high school, you know, 2,000 rebounds in high school, you know, 1,000 points. You know, Slade was an enforcer on the boards like that.
Was Aaron Mundy on those teams with you guys?
Aaron didn't travel with us, but he did AAU, but he didn't travel with us.
I got you.
Okay. He didn't travel with us. Yeah, I mean, most people, the Boo Williams is probably one of the biggest pioneers of AAU basketball. You know, he was the one he's one of the first, really, in our area to create it. And then behind him, you know, the crazy thing is we fight all the time on who had the best Boo Williams team because you got AI, you got Joe Smith, all of them, they swear out because their team was better than ours. I was like, it's not even possible. But it goes down to a fight every year.
Boo tells those stories. All you got to do is ask Boo. He said nobody on any of those teams could touch Zoe. Like he says, Alonzo would have punked all of them.
All of them. Zoe was nasty, man. I just hated that he went to Georgetown and didn't stay home. But, you know, one thing about him was, you know, Zoe was a nasty player, man. Zoe was mean.
Yeah.
Zoe been in fights his whole life, man. And he just played aggressive. And a lot of people didn't like that about him. But let me tell you, the guy was, he was one you want on your team. You know, I've seen him and Sean, he hated nobody more than Sean Kemp, man. He literally, every time they played, it was a fight. They got ejected every time they played.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you know who was one of the best players to ever come out of Virginia, Stiff Man.
Oh, yeah.
And I played against him in high school. When Slade get on here, what Stiff gave him with the chicken pox. He dropped 40 on Slade with the chicken pox.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Brian, he was a one-man show.
That's all they had.
They had nobody else, man. But let me tell you, to inside, outside, whatever you needed to be done, he's probably one of the best pure athletes, you know, basketball players out of the state of Virginia, for sure. Hands down. No doubt.
Terry, bringing it back to UVA, what were the conversations with the coaches like when you decided to stop playing basketball and concentrate on football?
It was a tough conversation. I don't know, Jay Willie, you might know the story. You know, my first year I came in, Terry Holland was the coach, and then I had Craig Littlepage and JJ was the assistant at that time. And as an assistant, JJ was pushing for me to play a lot. So my freshman year, I ended up playing a whole lot. And then my sophomore year, you know, it was one of those things where we went to the bowl game and I got there really late. And JJ called me into the office and he was like, listen, Terry, he goes, I know I can get you in the game, but the problem is these guys have been here, you know, practicing, they've been putting in the work, so it's going to be really hard for me to play you. And I said, then it's no need for me to, he goes, but now, you know, we want you around. My roommate at the time was Ted Jeffers, and Ted was like, nah, man, you know, Jay, with all the guys, was like, listen, don't quit, just come on out there and, you know, just be around us, because we need that, you know, that leadership, we need that work. And it ended up being an unbelievable year for me because I had fun. I was like Jay Willie. I was a scout team. So for me, it was no holes ball. You know, I get to do whatever I wanted to do because it didn't matter being a scout team. But in all honesty, it was one of the things that really hurt me that year. And then not being able, knowing that no matter what I did in practice, no matter what I did, I wasn't going to play. You know, and that for me being, you know, being a starter on the football team and, you know, putting in all the work, you know, I love work. I don't mind work, but when you want to, at the end, you want some gratification. And I knew that wasn't coming. So, and, you know, Coach Jones and I, we talked about it and he was like, you know, we still want you on the team. So I stayed involved. And then after that, I was like, you know what? It's not really worth me, you know, putting in that extra time when I can go ahead and concentrate on football. So that was my biggest decision.
Turned out to be a very good one. 10-year career in the NFL.
No doubt.
Yeah, I can't complain.
hey, Kirby, tell us what you're up to now, man. Give us an update on what you're doing.
Right now, I've been retired now. Wow. 18 years, man. It's hard to believe. I just turned 50 this year in January. And, you know, I've done a whole lot of different things in my lifetime since I've been retired. But now I have a performance gym down here in South Florida. I train a lot of athletes, a lot of pro guys that come in. I don't really take on too many pro guys because unless they really come after me, you know what I mean? It's one of those things with pro guys, it's kind of hard to train sometimes because they're so, nowadays, they're so caught in their ways. And for me, I played the game and I played the game on a high level and I played for 10 years. And if you really don't want to listen to what I have to say, then, you know, there's no need for you and I, you know, to train together. You know, I'm going to tell them just like it is. And for me, a lot of guys can't handle that. You know, I'm not going to stroke your ego. I'm going to tell you what you need to work on. And playing the sport of basketball, football, it doesn't matter. If you're not ready to master your craft and work on what you need to work on, if you're a good shooter, you can keep shooting. But there's a weakness that you have that you know you need to work on. And it's easy to work on what you love to do and what you're good at. Mm-hmm. It's harder to work on those things that you're not good at, because they frustrate you. So for me, that's what I like to do. When I train people, I train their people on their weaknesses, because if I can strengthen their weaknesses up, that's only going to make them a better player.
Do you get to see much of Crotty and being down in South Florida? You keep in touch with him and what the Heat are up to?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's crazy because Crotty fell into the right situation. You know, when 14 of them guys retired, you know, Crotty stepped right in. So, you know, he's a little bit down south in the Coral Gables. But when last year during the bowl game, I go down there, I'll call him, I'll go to a game. You know, Crotty's doing well, man. You know, people don't realize that I played with Crotty. You know, when they come down here with Zoe and Crotty and all these guys, it's kind of crazy because, you know, I was a basketball player. And when I see all these guys, like when Zoe's tournament, all these guys that I played against all through high school and some of these guys in college, you know, I see them and they're like, damn, you know, wow, you know, you turned out to be a good football player and this and that. And it's crazy because they all know me from basketball.
Right.
How much current UVA football do you follow?
I follow a little bit. You know, I'm not a big sports guy. It's kind of crazy. I watch sports here and there. I'm not one of those guys that's glued to the TV all the time. And with UVA football, it's, you know, sometimes I get discouraged, you know, on some of the ways that they go sometimes. So I try to limit my conversations on it sometimes because I get frustrated. You know, I get very frustrated on UVA football and UVA sports in general. You know, it's, you know, I can remember, and Jay Willie can tell you this, you know, in YB, all of us, you know, if you don't win the state of Virginia in recruiting, because I don't know too, and I've been around the world a long time, and I've seen a lot of players in my time. I'll put the state of Virginia against any other state as far as athletes in every sport. So for me, if you can recruit that state and you can win that state, man, you get one or two players. It's just like when I came out, no one could believe I actually went to UVA. You know, here I am, the number one player in the country. I have every single college, every single offer, and I decided to stay home at UVA because I wanted to be a part of something. Just like Brian Stith, you know, we wanted to be part of something great. We wanted to be able to build a legacy. And that's one of the things that kind of frustrates me a little bit about UVA sports is because we don't have that legacy. You know, I talk to a lot of guys around the league, and a lot of guys, if you go to these big schools, you know, they have legacies. You know, what is Virginia's legacy? You know, that's where I think our recruiting and the way our school needs to be, we need to go after that legacy, man. We need to build a legacy that people can talk about all the time. You know what I mean? Jay Willie and them started with, you know, getting the national championship in basketball. You know, now that's building that legacy. So now how do we build on that? And football hasn't found that yet. We haven't crossed that bridge yet. And I don't know what it is that's going to take us to get there. But, you know, it's hard. Don't get me wrong. It's hard.
Would you say that what Bronco and them are doing, Terry, is moving in the right direction? Especially after last year and the success we had, winning the Coastal, you know, playing in the championship. You know, Bryce was a huge part of that. He was a hell of a quarterback. You know, you like the direction we're moving for now.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a different guy. You know, I think that my mentality as far as football players go, you know, I'm not a big yeller, screamer. You know, football and any sport, if you want to do it, you do it. You know, I shouldn't have to yell at you and scream at you to do your job. Hmm. And, you know, even like in the weight room with Coach Gamble, you knew exactly what he expected.
You're going to lift that weight, son.
You're going to lift it.
And he said it just like that, Mark. He didn't raise his voice. You're going to lift that weight, son.
That's it.
And it also helped Kirby that he was as big as any human I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure. But think about it, Jay Willie. Think about the way you coach. You know, you coach the same way you play the game. You know what I mean? So for me as a player, I'm going to have that respect for you. You know what I mean? I'm going to have that respect for you. I think sometimes with coaches, you know, they take the yelling and screaming too far. And some kids don't respond to that. And you know that as well as I do. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids don't respond to that, and a lot of kids nowadays, it's even harder because of the way society is. Society, you know, really plays a big part on how kids communicate. And I see it all the time with the kids I train. You know, do no one communicates anymore. Communication is a lost art, man. It's a lost art.
They communicate with two or three words on their phones, right? Instead of having, they can't have conversations.
Absolutely. And I don't, you know, I'm not around Bronco and those guys enough. You know, I just kind of go through, you know, when I come up for the spring game and, you know, I talk to the guys and, you know, it's tough. It's tough for us older guys. It's very tough for us older guys sometimes because it's, you know, you gotta win that state of Virginia, man. You gotta win it because there's enough athletes there that we can, you know, you can make something happen. So that's the point of having that legacy. You know, if you go through, you know, football and basketball legacy, look at the how many people are from the state of Virginia that could have had a legacy at Virginia.
Tell me about it, Kirby. I get so frustrated with some of these basketball guys. But, you know, we fought that battle even when you were in school with Holland and JJ. I mean, we guys would go to Carolina and they would go to Duke and, you know, Georgetown with Zoa AI. You know, it's so hard, you know, when they don't grow up wanting to be at home or, you know, so we're still fighting that good fight, though. We're still fighting.
Yeah, but shit, Jay, hey, you guys have pulled it off, though. Now, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, us being number one in the country, you know, when I was there and then you guys win a national championship now, let me tell you something. That's a legacy. You know, it happens. That's how you start. You know what I mean? And you know what? It wasn't like we had the best players, but we had players that played together.
They were hungry.
Oh, and listen, we were all friends. You know, Think about it, Jay. We had football, baseball, basketball, soccer players. We all hung out together. And I think that was one of the big things about UVA is that, you know, we were all, anybody in sports, we were all together no matter what. We were one unity. And I think that's one of the things. I don't know how it is now on campus, but back then, we were one for all, 100%, every sport.
So Dougie Fresh talks about all the time on the podcast. He always talks about, mentions often how the athletes from different sports were really close.
And it's gotten back to that, TK. It's very similar. Those guys, like, and I know our guys are at every other team's games. Like, they all hang out. Like, it's pretty cool to see. It brings me back to when I played, and I often tell them those stories. Like, this is the best part of your, like, this is the best time of your life. Like, enjoy it. Make those relationships, that network, and it goes fast, but make the most of it.
So, Terry.
Yeah, I can remember, go ahead.
No, go ahead if you want to tell a story.
Hey, I remember in the summertime, Jay Willie, going to the Dell, and all the basketball players there, all the football players, and we all played hoops together.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was nothing better than that. You know, those are the years that, you know, that you'll never get back, man. The best years of your life are in college.
No doubt. They don't go outside anymore, Kirby. They're afraid to play outdoors.
Man, that's how you learn how to play the game.
No doubt.
For basketball and for football, and I assume other sports as well, staying home will resonate with some recruits. And for other recruits, it's not that important. So what are the magic words or what are the catchphrases or how do you recruit a kid who's saying, I don't want to stay home. I want to leave the state. I want to leave the city.
Legacy.
And maybe that's for both of you.
I think it's about legacy, man. You want to be part of something big, you know. Being able to stay home and, you know, being the number one player in the country coming out, going to Virginia, playing football and playing basketball. You know, my cousin Chris, you know, who was the number one linebacker coming out in high school, for both of us to come to UVA to be able to say, you know what, we stayed home and we made something happen. You know, in the 90s, you couldn't ask for better football teams at UVA. You know,
did you have that in your mind? Did you have that in your mind when you were in high school? While you were 100%. In high school, like when you were a freshman in high school, you said you knew you wanted to stay somewhere in Virginia.
Well, for one, the craziest thing was I knew Virginia was my home. I knew that's where I wanted to go. I needed the other four schools that I visited to prove to me that I shouldn't go to UVA. See, nowadays, guys already have in their mind that before they even take a visit, oh, I want to go here, I want to go here. You have no idea what that school is like until you actually go there and see and hang out with not just the athletes, you hang out with the student body, man. It's a big difference. Sure. You know, most people just got to take a visit. They take one visit or two visits and they say, oh, I'm going here, without taking the other visit. My thing is, you know what? Take those visits, man, because you never know. You know, you never know.
So, Coach, how do you change somebody's mind who decides or has in his mind already that he wants to leave the state? Like for me, New York, I wanted Ty to get out of New York. I didn't want him to go to school in New York.
And I think for kids or families that are dead set on, I'm not staying in the city, I got to get out of New York, I don't want to stay home, it's too close to home, you're not going to change their mind if that's the case. But a little bit of what Kirby's talking about, I think, like, when we recruit kids, be different. You be the one that sets the tone. You set the trend. You be the trendsetter. And look, when you stay home, and Kirby can attest to this, Corey can attest to this, Harold, like, when you stay home, having played for Virginia, there's so many doors that open up for you. So many opportunities from all the alumni and the people that want to see you succeed and do well, life after basketball. And it's we often tell them, it's not a 4-year decision, it's a 40-year decision. Like, you're making this for the next 40 years.
I get you, but every school's saying that. And some probably are, it's accurate, right, for some schools.
But you have to show them examples, the Corey Alexanders, the Terry Kirby's, the Chris Lays, the Brian Stiffs. You have to show them examples of guys that did it, that stayed and it worked and it was successful. I don't like throwing myself in there because I was not the player these guys were, but I had opportunities, doors open for me because I graduated and I stayed home. And so I got an opportunity to come back. I got an opportunity to come back and work for Tony Bennett. I mean, Tony Bennett didn't know me from Adam. But because I knew Little Page and I knew people associated with
legacy, NBA, baby, legacy. It's legacy.
It opens doors, yeah.
Right, but it's also, Terry, it has to start somewhere, right? And so there's a little bit of momentum going on right now with football, and there's a resurgence of the program.
Yeah, so of course it is. And I think that's, you know, Bronco, you know, I think Bronco's done a great job as far as, you know, putting the team together with the players he has. You know, he's won the game. Like you said, you know, Bryce last year really helped them out a lot. And this year, you know, even in the Clemson game the other day, you know, they played pretty well, you know, considering. I mean, you're still going against Clemson, you know what? But, you know, they had a good showing. So, you know, over the last couple years, they have definitely improved, and they've won the games they were supposed to win. And the ones that they lost, you know, it wasn't like it was a complete blowout. It was a couple mistakes here and there, you know, and that's – you know, that's the difference. You know, you could look at, even at that bowl game last year, you know, when I was here and you looked at the University of Florida's speed alone against our guys, it was night and day. You know, we don't have that speed to the next level. That's what's missing from Virginia right now. You know, from Virginia, we need to capitalize on getting that speed factor. Now, our guys work hard. Even back when I was playing, you know, we busted our ass and we, you know, we worked hard, we grinded, and they knew they were in a dogfight with us. But, you know, just like anything else, speed in football means everything.
No doubt. No doubt.
And that's where we're missing. You know, we're getting the big guys, but we need to capitalize on that speed. And, you know, even from being down here in Florida, you know, guys are like, you know, going to UVA, and I say, listen, you know, we got one or two guys, one guy from St. Thomas is at UVA, and, you know, he went there because it was a change for him. You know what I mean? He wanted to be that South Florida guy that went to Virginia to make something happen. You know what I mean? So that's the difference. You know, you got to be your own man. Like Jay Willie said, you know, don't be like everybody else. Be you. Yep. You know, just because you're number one player don't mean you got to go to Georgetown, North Carolina, because those are the top-notch schools. You know what? Be your own legacy. Be your own man.
Right. So I know you saw the score of the Clemson game. Did you get a chance to watch it?
No, I did not. Yeah.
So when you see a score like, what was the final, 41-24, 41-23?
I think that's
43-28, I want to say.
Okay. So when you see a score like that and you're a top recruit at Virginia – or out of the state of Virginia. Are you strongly considering Virginia UVA at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you got to realize you're going against Clemson. You know, you're going against, you know, the number one country, number one school in the country right now. So, but if you look at the, you know, the score, the block score on that, you know, Clemson scored 10 points in the first quarter. After that, UVA stayed with them the entire, you know, the rest of the three quarters. So you take out that, you know, the first quarter, them guys, you know, they did a hell of a job. And right now, you got to ask, football now is totally different than the football that was played last year. You know, only because of training, you know, the COVID thing, the COVID-19 not hitting. It's a lot that's going into this season. So it's kind of hard to compare this season to any other season. And you can see that in even in the NBA, you know, in the finals right now. You know, it's even in pro football, it's different. You know, with the Miami Heat, you know, being down here, you know, with the Miami Heat, and you see what happened to them, you know what? That's a quarantine team. Right. They play well under quarantine. You know why? Because they like each other. you know, think about it. You know, right. They get the entire team gets along. They're together 24/7 in the bubble. You know what? They cracking jokes and having fun. Now, if you get a team that has two superstars that don't like nobody else on the team, you know what that's like, Jay Willie.
No doubt.
Let me tell you, that's a cancer. And y'all all together all the time. So that's a hard chemistry to have. So I think chemistry is the key to, you know, to success.
Jay Willie, is there something called, is there a moral victory in sports?
You know, everybody uses those cliches. I think there's always something to learn. I won't say there's anything fun about losing, but you gotta learn from it. You know what I mean? So like, you know, I think, for example, we'll grow. The more we can compete against Clemson and go against Clemson and play in bowl games and go against that speed, we'll get better from a football standpoint. The more we can, you know. And we had to do it when we were building where we are now, when we were laying that foundation. We had to go against Duke, and we had to beat Duke. We finally had to beat them in Cameron. We had to beat Carolina consistently. You know, you got to go up against the Syracuse zone. You got to tackle that zone. The more you go up against that, even in losses, you grow from it. So, I mean, there's always something to learn. I never like saying I learned after L. You know, the moral victory side, but we're always growing and getting better. And look, when we lost from UMBC, did we take something from that? Absolutely. The next year, we had the ultimate turnaround, and we won it all. So
absolutely.
We got better.
Listen, when you lose a game, I always say this. If you give the other team your playbook and you execute, they still can't stop it.
Right.
You know, so for me is you lose games on mistakes. If you make mistakes, no matter how good you are, you know, if you're really, really good and you make a mistake and you can cover from that mistake, that's just good players, right? Now, if you're playing the best you absolutely can play and you grade out great and you lose, that team was just better than you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So to me, if you do your job, you know, like we say in football, there's three phases. You got offense, defense, and special teams. They always say if you win two of the three, you win. That's the key. So if you don't make the mistakes and you make the tackles and you make the plays you're supposed to play, you're supposed to make, you can win. Now, if you lose by losing, hey, making a mistake, you know what? Nothing you can do about that. Huh. And it happens all the time.
With close losses can also help with recruit. Would you agree or disagree? To a top team.
I just think when you, no matter what, Jay, when you have a good showing against a big team, let me tell you something. That's a dogfight. People like that.
They want to see the best go, they want to see the best compete against each other. We had College Game Day here. And we have not played. We've lost a few of those college game days, right? But just because of that atmosphere, and those top teams going at it, absolutely it helps with recruiting. They want to see that. They want to be a part of that. You know, that atmosphere, that's electric. And the best kids want to play in that. So it absolutely. Hey,
think about it. When we were number one in the country and we were playing for the number one in the country against Georgia Tech, and we lost, let me tell you, that was the biggest game. You couldn't have, even if you ask people nowadays, that was probably one of the biggest games in NCAA. The year we were number one in the country. Whoever thought, you know, University of Virginia football team was going to be number one in the country playing against Georgia Tech, who was number two in the country. You got two ACC schools, number one in the country, number two in the country, which is unheard of. I mean, whoever thought an ACC team would ever be up there? You know what I mean? So they always think ACC is basketball. You know, it's a basketball conference. We couldn't compete. But if you look at that, both teams, if you look at the roster on both of those teams, you're talking about superstars. So I think that changed UVA football right then, because you got the Tiki Barbers, the Rondes, the Thomas Jones. You know, you got all the guys that came in after that because of that game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same thing that's going to happen with basketball. You win that national championship, now you got that credibility of like, listen, I don't need to go, you know, to the Kentuckys and the UNCs, the Dukes. You know what? I can stay my ass right here, Virginia, and still compete for that national championship.
Say that one more time, Kirby. Let the folks know. Say it loud and proud. One more time, TK.
You know it. You know it. But that's the truth. You know what I mean? And I think that's where football has to get back to, you know, being in that top 10 and being in that top 15. You know, you got to be able to compete to get those players.
For sure. How closely do you follow UVA basketball?
Oh, come on, Jay Willie, that's my guy. You know, basketball's easier to follow than football. Hey, even though my man don't text back a lot of times, but it's all good. Okay. You
know? I'm the worst.
No, Slay's the worst. You right behind him.
I'm the worst. Hey, look, I'm texting Slay as we're doing this and nothing. Radio silence right now.
Crickets.
Did you watch the whole one two years ago?
Yes, I did. You know, it's crazy because I was actually in UVA. We had the alumni weekend.
Black alumni weekend.
TJ, we had a spring football game. So TJ and I went up with my son and TJ's son. And it was on a Saturday. So we were leaving Sunday. And we were like, man, we should just go ahead and jump on a flight right now. So we thought about driving back to D.C., getting on a plane and going. But the problem was, you know, it's a tough stadium. It was, I mean, the seats would have been so far back because it was a football stadium. So I was like, do I really want to just go because of that? And I wish I had a win. But let me tell you something. To watch it, man, it was amazing. And one of the best things for me was that Ralph was there to see it. You know what I mean? That was huge, you know. That was huge.
Ralph, not only was Ralph there, TK, he was at the after party the whole night.
I'm sure.
We had a good time.
I mean, that's the legacy of UVA basketball, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the legacy of that. And for him to be there, to be part of that, man, it's nothing better than that. And that's what I want for football. I want football to be able to get back to that legacy part, man, because, you know, we're capable of doing it. Absolutely. We just got to, you know, we got to work on it doing it, you know. We got to take basketball's lead. You know, basketball did it, you know, let's take that lead from basketball.
And I do think, I do think Broncos on his way, TK. I love the culture that they built over there. And I don't get to see those guys often, but Biscuit, Marcus Hagans is my guy. Yeah. And I'm often talking to him, and I love what they're doing. And I think we're laying that groundwork. So, keep positive. It's coming.
Oh yeah. I mean, man, let me tell you, Marcus. You know, he's a Tidewater boy. You know me, because you know. So we go back, and I think with him being from the state and what he's done with that receiving core, that's huge. You know, that's huge, because on that coaching staff, he's that guy that can help with that Tidewater area. And I think he's doing a good job of that, for sure. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Terry, last question for you. The championship run, what was your, I guess, most favorite game? Purdue, Auburn or Texas Tech?
Auburn. 100%. The best part about the Auburn thing, Charles Barkley, baby. Let me tell you. Hey, oh, that to me was it. That was it, man. I mean, and actually, I take that one, but all of those games for one that came down to the wire like that, that Purdue game, let me tell you, I'm so glad that cat took the last shot. He was hot the whole game. I said, you know what? The one he is going to miss is going to be this one here. So for me, I mean, you guys play to the end. You know what? Jay Willie, to the end. You know what I mean? You play to the end no matter what happens. That's a dog. You know what I mean? That's a dog. And you could see it in those guys' eyes, man. They had something to prove. It was a chip. After losing the way you guys did the year before and coming back, it was a chip on your shoulder. And you know what? Sometimes there's a team, there's a Cinderella team that gets in there, and no matter what they do, everything goes their way. And you know what? It was Virginia's year.
It totally was, Kirby. I still, everyone's got their favorites, but that Purdue game, I'll say this. I don't remember in my lifetime there being three back-to-back-to-back games with the team winning the championship, having to play close games like that in all three.
Never. It was unbelievable. Never. Listen, and I commend your guys mentally. After the first one, you're beat down, man. You're tired. And then all of a sudden, the second one, you're back in it again in a dogfight to the end. Now, it can take it all out of you, but, hey, your coaches, you guys did a hell of a job keeping those guys mentally prepared, man, because that mentally, that is no joke. You know, hey, you lose one, you out.
It's unreal.
Wow, it ain't like it's the best of seven. You lose what? It's over. You know what I mean?
So it was unreal.
Unreal. Hey, unreal.
Hey, Kirby, I know Mark said that was the last one. I got one more for you.
Okay.
The Heat, 2-1, heck of a game by Jimmy Butler. Can they make this a series and push this, or will the Lakers bounce back and is it over? What's your prediction?
Let me tell you, I love the Heat, and like I said, you know, the Heat, they're a quarantine team. They love each other. But it's hard to go up against them bullies, man. Them bullies ain't no joke. Hey, the Heat got to shoot 85% from the field. And the Lakers got to be able to – they can't shoot that well from the outside like they did the first night. They're not an outside team like that, but for some reason, they were on fire that night. So
my prediction before the series started was Lakers in five.
I'll take that.
So you like that, or you think Miami can?
I like that.
You steal like another
that.
One or two.
I like that. Let me tell you, LeBron is on a mission, and like we talked about, we talked about having that that fire, and what happened to Kobe, and I think they got that whole Laker team and that Laker organization got that in the back of their mind right now, and I think they're doing this. And they're fighting like the way they are for Kobe. So it's going to be hard for them, the Heat, to overturn that. Even though, let me tell you, Jimmy Butler and them boy and Hero, them guys are on fire. They playing well together. They do everything together. But it's going to be hard to deal with the Lakers. And it's just – they are who they are, man. who will stop them? You can't. Ain't nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do.
Right. When you consider shooting 14 for 41 from three, and they were still in the game until the last minute, they are tough to beat.
And they did that without Anthony Davis doing anything.
Right. Took nine shots.
Absolutely.
Davis took nine shots. But if Miami rebounds, because LA is not a great shooting team, I don't think they're going to shoot as well as they did the first game, and I don't think they're going to shoot as poorly as they did the last game. So rebounding is a big issue. Right.
That yeah, but critical. AB, like you said, Anthony Davis wasn't a factor in his last game.
6 for 9.
I mean, hey, I got yeah, listen, I they get the ball in the paint, they're going to shoot 80%. Yeah. In the paint, they're going to shoot 80 to 90%.
Terry, I said last question, but I'll just make this point. Are you aware that Locker Room Access has football and basketball podcasts?
No, sir.
All right, well, we're going to try to get you on both.
I'm in, for sure.
The football podcasts are hosted by T. Cove and Ahmad Hawkins.
Actually, you know what? T. Cove had called me and asked me about that. And you know what? You're absolutely right. You're right. I didn't know, but listen, a lot of hits in my head every now and then I forget.
All right, well, we're gonna badger you know about me? It. And you know who hosts the basketball podcast?
Who, what?
Are you
Doug
aware
Fresh, of Dougie Fresh, right?
Dougie Fresh,
right? Yeah, yep. Dougie Fresh. Yeah, he called me, talked to me. I'm in. Listen, as long as y'all can catch me during the week, I'm good, man. You know, it's tough. I got a 15-year-old son that's in football, so how's he doing,
Kirby?
Man, Jay Willie, I wish he had kept basketball, man. He's 6'3", size 15 shoe, man.
Wow.
183 pounds, but, you know, right now I got him – he wanted to stick with football. I got him doing the receiver thing. So he only in 10th grade, so I got plenty of time. You know
what I mean?
That's
all right. He'll be the next Herman. We'll get him out there.
Hey, that's the plan. That's the plan. Good. For sure. Yeah, but anytime, man. Hey, listen. One thing about me, man, I'm a UVA fan till I die, for sure. You know, I'm born and raised. That's my blood is that way. You know what I mean? So anytime you guys need me, I'm here. I'm here, for sure.
That, Terry.
Hey, Jay Willie, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
So now, like you said, with the Lakers, how you going to defend them this week? If you're the Heat, what do you do?
I don't know because, listen, you got to make them a jump shooting team, right? But I think AD and Bron are going to change. They ain't going to settle for as many threes. I think they're gonna destroy the paint. They're going to live in the paint, and it's going to be hard for the Heat.
Yeah.
If they can implement that zone and make them settle, then I think they'll be okay. But Jimmy Butler's got to do that. He's got to do that three more times in order for them to win. He's got to go 40-point triple-double in order for them to win. That's
100%.
Hard. That's hard.
It's hard. It's hard against the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's going to be it's hard against the Lakers. See, I agree. I mean, the problem is the paint. Like you said, it's the paint.
Yeah, they're gonna live in the paint, I think. Yeah. So, hey,
for sure,
we appreciate you taking the time, man. I know you're a busy guy. You're running your own gym down there. Best of luck to your son, and stay safe, my man. Always good to see you.
Always. I appreciate you guys having me on, man. You know.
We'll find Slade somewhere. He's probably right. He probably had football practice.
Nah, hey, I got a question, Jay Willie. He texted us and said, "We good. All you gotta do is send me this stuff. I'm good."
And I sent it to him.
I sent it to him twice. I got it. I got the email and I got the text.
Terry, it's a pleasure. Thanks much. Look forward to talking
nice
to you on the podcast.
For sure, man. Anytime. Appreciate
all the best.
You.
Thanks, brother. All right.
Yes, sir.
Two-way professional athletes, how many of them have there been that were extremely successful in the last, 40, 50 years?
Ooh, you don't see many, but I would say wasn't Tony Gonzalez and,
professional?
No, well, he
Danny Ainge, basketball and baseball.
But I'm saying, like, college, like, Kirby didn't play. Me played college football, but then
– okay, college, yes.
College and then pro, but nobody did pro like Dion. No one did.
I was just going to say Dion. Dion, Bo Jackson.
Bo.
Danny Ainge.
But outside of that, man.
And then on the college level, when do you ever hear of somebody doing that now?
You don't? Like, what was it, Antonio Gates? Like, one of the last guys?
Yep.
The kid, it's funny, though. There's a kid that played at VCU, Mo Ali Cox, who played basketball at VCU, didn't play football. They asked him to go out for football, and he's now, like, a tight end with the Colts. Hadn't played football since, I want to say, high school.
Incredible.
And he's a big time receiver for the Colts, I think.
That's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, but you don't see that. I mean, you don't see like running backs and DBs and dudes like Deion and Kirby did. You see some tight ends, like guys, big basketball players that go play tight end in the NFL. But you hardly see running backs and
it's so rare in professional ranks, and it's so rare in college.
Oh. Right? You can't do it in college. It's hard. Because think about it. We were recruiting a kid. We wouldn't have got and he ended up being a hell of a football player, but we wouldn't have got this kid until January after a bowl game as a first year. Now, if you think you're going to rely on that recruit, you never had him in the summer for the summer workouts. You didn't get him until January. I mean, he wouldn't have been up to speed until end of January, early February. That's the whole season.
Right.
That's and then,
of course, our producer, CEO, threw us a little help and just mentioned Charlie Ward.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
ACC football and basketball.
That's right.
Incredible.
I played against Charlie. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, how good of a football player was he?
He's a Heisman winner.
Yep. Heisman winner. And he was a big part of the basketball team.
Yep. I played against Charlie. He was really good.
Yeah. All right. How was the week?
It was good. It was practice went well. School's still in session, so I'm not doing homeschool, virtual school. That's been good. so the boys are still in person, knock on wood.
Uh-huh.
And actually for them, Mark, it's been great from a mental health standpoint. Like they need to be around friends and their teachers and interacting with people. So that part's been good. But for us, it's been good. We're still plugging away on the recruiting trail. I got some calls to make tonight to some 22s. So starting to crank it up on the junior class here in a little bit.
That's good to hear. A very close family member of mine told me he stopped by practice a couple of times.
Yeah, he's been in town. He's stopped in. Ethan, he has to go through the health screen and wear the mask and stay. He's actually 100 feet away from the court. He can't be anywhere near the court. But he was in. I think he liked what he saw. We had a little inner squad scrimmage the other day, and guys play hard.
He's a tough evaluator.
I told him, don't be so hard. You quickly forgot what your first year was like.
No, you're going to be surprised.
What did he say?
He said they look good.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Good for him.
He mentioned a couple of names.
I think he probably was surprised at some of their offensive skills. Defensively, we got a long way to go. We still got it. We got a ways to go.
Yep. He likes Reese Beekman a lot.
Yeah.
He said Reese can play.
Reese is good.
And everything you said.
Yeah.
Right. Sam is just an incredible shooter. Yeah. Once he gets those feet set.
Yeah. Our issue will be how quickly do we just embrace the toughness and the mentality defensively? Because I think right now we're relying a little bit too much on being able to shoot our way out of trouble.
Yep. Any updates? Any news you want to share? Any schedule information? Unofficial.
Well, scheduling has been a little bit of a headache for everybody across the country with these MTEs. So
can you explain MTE to our audience who might not be aware of it?
Multi-team events is what they are, and I think there was something out on social media. I think we're slated to play Florida. I think that. We're working on that. I don't know if that's 100% official, but I know that's in the works. And that would potentially be at Mohegan Sun. And then there are multiple options that we're trying to figure out. And the whole thing is testing and protocol and how we get through this whole COVID thing. So we're still figuring it out. I don't know how soon we'll will be finalized with the scheduling, but Ronnie does a hell of a job. It's a work in progress for him. So I'm pretty sure he's losing tons of sleep trying to get this thing squared away.
And everybody's healthy?
Everybody's healthy, yeah. Knock on wood. Everybody's doing well. Just plugging away.
All right. Coach, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks again. We will see you in 2 weeks. And in the beginning of November, we will be going weekly.
Hey, can't wait. And how about that opening music we had? That's pretty cool, wasn't it?
That beat is really, really hot.
I got to thank Wild.
Yep. We'll have that for you, for everyone next time in 2 weeks.
All right. Have a good one. Stay safe.
All right, Coach. All the best. Say hi to everybody.